240 or 241.
Okay, so we invite you to study the sugya of Tzadik Viralo, why is there suffering in the world?
We said that the hiddenness is what gives the ability for there to be a giloy.
We said first there's Vayere Vayereke, you have to have darkness before you can have light. And then we said that the keys of the world are handed over to us. Not some keys. The entire life of all the worlds, the infinite myriad multiple worlds, are all handed over to Klal Yisrael. That's something else. That's something else. That's a good question.
They make a model on Malachim versus the first Baruch Hu.
Correct.
Who's in control, not whether or not we have the Tarda.
Yeah, that's something else. That's talking about something else. We only get to talk about those keys of the Tzadikim who use the keys here to even get across boxes of thinking about rain. When Hashem is not thinking about rain, the Shal is now, did he give the key to the Malach to open up the rain barriers, or does he do it himself? But the arousal to get a cosmos to think about rain started down here with us. That's what we're talking about, the keys. We first have the keys to get to Shemayim, to say, Hashem, please think about rain. Now, up in this world, he decides whether he's sending the plumber, or he's going to do it himself, or whatever. That's what Tainus is talking about. What we're talking about here is, what do we do down here to get up there, to get them to even talk about the keys up there? Fine. So then we said that a cosmos created us B'Tselem. The purpose of the Bria is to be able to give, and he wants us to be like him. Therefore, he creates space in which we're able to reveal ourselves by giving and doing what we're supposed to be doing by overcoming Yesurim, Nisoinus, etc., and creating our own Yesh Miayim. I think we got to the bottom of Reish Mem Beis. Does that sound click with anybody? So it's nice to have one person in the shir that has a safer. No one's buying the safer because we're getting to the end. We're going to burn this for the next couple of months. I'm the only one with a safer. Okay. It serves me right, because the reason why we're learning the safer is because I wanted to learn the safer and I couldn't learn it on my own. So I started learning with somebody else, and then it grew and grew and grew. So the reason I'm really learning is just for myself. So I'm sitting in my office learning, and whoever wants to come eavesdrop can come eavesdrop. That's really what's happening, right? God brings the safer, the haver mina. You always want to eavesdrop. Come in.
Learning on the shoulders.
So the purpose of a ben adam in this world is to fulfill those chesedim that God Baruch Hu created the world with. Okay, I don't know if this is where we got up to, but I think this is where we get up to. And if I start talking about the day, Dugma Machayelu, let's try and explain what I think we've been talking about with the Dugma. Let's imagine for ourselves, you have to do this. Don't sit here and let me do all the work. You've got to imagine for yourself an Avrech, a Ben Teira, a very, very special, talented, very unique, talented guy, right? Mechainen b'midas ne'atzlois. The guy's got beautiful, beautiful, elevated midas. Adi nefesh. Yirish shamayim of a daktek b'mitzvah. Yeah? That's what we're trying to become, yeah? That's exactly what we're all trying to become. Balkishon miyuchad, mechainen b'midas ne'atzlois. Adi nefesh. Yirish shamayim of a daktek b'mitzvah. Yeah, the perfect son-in-law, right? And he doesn't want a dira. Yesh lo gam.
He has a dira.
Yesh lo gam leiv hamishtapech umitzragesh b'tfila. He's also somebody who knows how to daven properly with emotion. V'uzoke v'hakim es beisoy shel adoni ha-toyre v'ayira. And he builds adnei ha-toyre v'ayira. And he builds a home, he builds a home on the basis and the foundations of Torah and Yira. Kol bonav, kishtilei zeisim, sovil shulchona, all his children are mamash, each one miyuchad, just like he is. Vaf reisehu eshus chayim. Perfect Gan Eden in this world, right? So it's basically what we're all jealous that we don't have, right? Everyone's kretching, but everybody thinks that everybody else has this, right? And he's kretching because he doesn't. Gam panasam atzuba revach. Oh, Baruch Hashem. He's got panasa, he's got vachain avrech ze sheker ala teure va avoide yoyman v'layla oilu misale. This guy's poshut flying, he's up, he's nothing holding him back. Yachad ima akora v'ayosogov v'malasayov nesochim ki hu einu poil elu b'mizgeret yesh miyesh. With all this, he's working in a world of yesh miyesh. He has what he has, and from that he's doing what he's doing. He doesn't have to go out and work because he's got panasa. He doesn't have to worry about who's going to look after the kids because he's got Eishes Chayil. He doesn't have to worry about getting phone calls from the Rosh Yeshiva, please come take your son home, because all he's getting is phone calls from the Rosh Yeshiva saying how wonderful his kids are doing, yeah? And he doesn't have to worry about anything. He doesn't have to worry about going, you know, yes, your lessons, or he can't read, or he doesn't know what's going on because the big bok kishon is staying and he's growing and he's older. He doesn't have to come home or not depressed because he couldn't get pshat in toises, or for 3 months he's been learning and he's seen no progress in his learning. He doesn't have any of those problems. So what's he creating? Yeah, himself. He's just yesh miyeshing. He's creating something beautiful, but it's not from any lacks. Hu amna maskiles nochel natzeles hatnaim aniflaim shnit nelo ach ein hu yoytz yesh miyeh. Avada, he's doing something very beautiful. He's using everything Hashem has given him to the fullest ability. And I'm sure we'll get big power for that as well, not say not. But he's not creating a yesh miyeh. Davka Adam. By the way, if there would be a situation like that in the world, where everybody had that, the world would cease to exist, by the way. The same way if there was no Torah in the world, for one moment the world would cease to exist. So Pinchas points out, if people would stop davening, because what are you davening for now? If you have a laugh like that, just trying to imagine if you have a laugh like that, right? What's going to get you out of bed to go? When you finish shachris, how anxious are you to daven mincha?
You say it's not
going to
stop.
Fine, but it's very hard to motivate yourself and really get davening when everything's going well. We all know that. I'm just saying, so you wouldn't daven, so then the world would cease to exist. We're just saying a situation like that could be very dangerous. If I had a situation like that, I'd be terrified. Imagine, first of all, I wouldn't get out of bed because I don't need panasa. That's probably the only thing that gets most of us out of bed in the morning. And you've got to be covating the Torah. You're covating the Torah, but what's really driving us is because that's a pecha, yeah. Dafka Adam Shekayim Mitzvah Ha'edah V'chasorin Kol Shehem. It's Dafka only by a person who has lacks and voids, whatever they are. Bainim Adam B'dachkus V'anirs. It's only dafka somebody who's lacking something, whatever it is, whether it's poverty or because of problems of shalom bayis or chinuch yeladim or physical sufferings, whatever the problem is, dafka adam ze b'shash shehu mitgaber. Dafka this guy's got a terrible headache and he opens up his gemara, or he's got terrible shalom bayis problems or whatever, like we spoke about in the shmooze on Thursday, yeah? U'b'chol zayis. It's Dafka him. Who's the Yechivachol Yaitse Yeshmaim? He's been Yaitse Yeshmiyai. The Jew that lights the menorah in Auschwitz. The Jew that eats matzah in Auschwitz. The Jews, like his mother, he spoke about that when they were in Auschwitz, they didn't have Shabbos clothes. How did they keep Shabbos? So the whole week they used to wear their suits, their clothes, whatever you used to call those rags that the Nazi Yechivachol gave them, they used to wear them inside out. And on Shabbos they used to turn them around. Covered Shabbos. So they used to get beaten because they said, why are you wearing your clothes inside out for them? They used to beat them and they listened. So they were keeping Shabbos the whole 7 days a week. In Auschwitz, you how else can you keep Shabbos? They couldn't keep Shabbos. That was their covered Shabbos. That's Yesh Miayim. How did you keep Shabbos in Auschwitz? How did
you?
About who was the chief rabbi of Moscow just before the war, I think of Chaim Berlin, the last Rosh Hashanah in Moscow before there was no more Jews left in Moscow, or they had to go underground or whatever. There was one shofar left in Moscow, and they came Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, they were getting set up ready for Rosh Hashanah. There was a psul in the shofar. They weren't going to have shofar. What was left of the Jewish community in Moscow, everybody had fled and run away, whatever. Reb Chaim Berlin, I think it was Reb Chaim Berlin, I'll check, remind me of that. I think it was Reb Chaim Berlin stayed there to make sure that everyone was taken care of, and he was the last to leave. So the remnant, the sheis, was there for Rosh Hashanah, and they didn't have a shofar. So he was broken. Not here, shofar Rosh Hashanah, the last week, he was shattered. So he said, what can he do? So what will we do? Go to sleep, upset. On his Rachman of Patre. What is the shofar? What do you want from me? Please, Hashem, help us to have a miracle in the shofar, and I'll go to bed, sleep. What's the problem? Rosh Hashanah nails, Rosh Hashanah is sleeping. What is the problem sleeping? I'm saying that's what I would do. There's no Yisraelim. There's no Yisraelim. What do you want from me? Right? So he decided he doesn't have a shofar. So what can he do instead of shofar? He's going to learn up. The whole night he's going to start learning Hilchos Shofar. You don't have a shofar. You don't have halachos. So, you have an esrog. So what do you bring instead? You bring Hilchos Esrog. So he sat up the whole night learning whatever he could about shofar. Yeah? Walking to shul that morning, a guy comes across, like a gypsy kind of guy with these caravans with all weird stuff hanging on his wagon. You know the gypsies have got these wagons with all pots and pans and whatever. This guy had lots of musical instruments. And Pitom Reb Chaim Berlin sees hanging there on this thing, it's a shofar. So he goes to the guy and he says, where did you get them from? And the guy starts getting scared. You're right, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have stolen it. And it's really yours, you're right, you can have it. What happened was, this guy was a Russian, and he made a living like most of them do by taking what doesn't belong to you. And a lot of the shuls had been abandoned or whatever, and he was a collector of unusual musical instruments. So he went to one of the shuls and he took the shofar. Chaim Berlin happened to be walking past. As he was driving past, had a shofar. That was the last time shofar was blown in Moscow for many, 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 many years. Yeah? So that's Yesh Me'ayin. How did he create that shofar? How come there was Zeicher to that shofar? He spent the whole night learning Hilchos Shofar. And he went to bed like me. I don't know if he would have got a shofar the next morning. You show Kosh Baruch Hu what's important. You make an effort in an impossible situation, but you do the best you can. Kosh Baruch Hu responds. He created a shofar. He brought the shofar. That's the Nakuda. If I had a shofar and everything was fine, and they blew shofar and it was the best shofar, whatever, it would have been a beautiful work of art. It would have been a beautiful Kir shofar. But it wouldn't have been a Yesh Me'ayin. You had a shofar, you blew shofar, very nice. You had a beautiful Esrog, you had a beautiful Esrog. Yeah? You bought a box that said Mehuda Aleph Aleph, you paid your 120 shekels or whatever, or your 150 shekels or whatever, and it was an Esrog, beautiful. Beautiful mitzvah, you had all the right kavanas, whatever, you got beautiful mitzvah, yeah? But did you, you know, guys used to push it, they used to put away a loaf, a slice of bread every day for a year in order to be able to save up a bit of money to get a little Esrog when they were no Esrog or whatever, they got different Esrog. So Yesh Me'ayin Esrog. That's the Yesodia. It's a very deep Yesodis. It's in a practical day-to-day existence of how we live our lives. The dogma, Adam Sha'ein lo Cheshek, V'tam belimud ha-teiro betfilin. You get a guy, not everybody enjoys learning, not everybody enjoys learning all the time, but enjoy learning sometimes, but not all the time. Or betavering, Ulam hu mishtadelu mitamets. But he's at his shtender every day, and he's there, and he's trying, and he's great news. He comes to davening, he thinks, if I have to talk to the shtender, if I have to twitch my lips at the shtender one more time, I'm going to go nuts. What am I doing here? I have no chachwere, but he tries. Adam ze yoytze yesh me'ayin. He's crazy as man. He's not an artist. His tefillah doesn't look like the beautiful guy who's mamash got his, you know, he's a natural bald tefillah. Doesn't have a tzotus, but it's a different beauty. It's a yesh me'ayin beauty. And in that, he's mamash making himself like a kodesh baruch hu, a boyer yesh me'ayin. Kodesh baruch hu's created yesh me'ayin. And through that he comes to the purpose of the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give him, because he now medame to Hashem. It's a beautiful idea, this. The way I used to say it was that the very imperfection in our lives is the perfection. If your life would be perfect, that would be the worst possible thing that could happen, because where's room for you? You've got a guy who's got a brilliant memory. He never forgets anything he learned, right? So he remembers the Shia from yesterday. Very nice. But what did you do? Well, I remember the Shia. Yeah, because you got an MP3 in your head, so big deal. Hashem gave you good memory. What's a big deal? Where you build muscle? Like a guy in the gym, yeah, he's pulling weights like this, whatever. And he's just not getting anywhere. 3 weeks he's pulling weights and his biceps are the same size. You know why? Because his buddy's standing behind him and pulling the rope. He's not doing nothing. Yeah, but he's pushing 500-pound bench press. Yeah. Even Schwarzenegger can't do that. And he's still a 90-pound weakling, right? Why? Because somebody, Schwarzenegger's holding the... It looks magnificent, it looks beautiful, but I ain't building no muscle. You build muscle, Ah, but he's only pushing 20-pound bench press. Yeah, he's pushing himself. There's a real schwitz there. Ah, that's the Yeshmiyim. This guy's building muscle. We forget that when we're having a rough day.
Yeah, imperfection is our perfection.
The way I'm magdir it is that the very imperfection of this world is its perfection. Why? Because the goal of this world is to get you to build muscle. If you had no resistance, you would never build muscle. So then the perfection would be imperfection. The fact that there's void, the fact that there's yeshurim, the fact that there's difficulties is the perfection of. That's why we're in this world. We've been conned into thinking that this world is Olam Haba, and therefore, yeah, everything has to be perfect. That's what the Western world claims. This world is all there is, so this world has to be perfect. You have to have carbon control in your house, in your car, in the passage from your house to your car. You have to have carbon control. God forbid you'll be discomfortable for 1 minute. You have to have leather seats in the car. That's what this world's given us. You have to have everything, yeah, perfect, because there is nowhere else we can have perfection. We say no. The very difficulties and imperfection of this world. We make a brocha. We make a brocha after you eat, you drink a glass of water. You make a brocha. Because brocha created this world imperfect. I mean, that's really the machlokes with Rabbi Akiva, and the Roman came to him and said, who's greater, man or God? And he was waiting for Titus Rufus or whatever. He was waiting for Rabbi Akiva to say, of course God's works are greater. And he was going to say, so why did you do Bris Milah? So Rabbi Akiva turned around to him and said, of course man's acts are greater. So he said, what do you mean? He said, what do you eat? Bread or flour? So the man said, bread. He said, well, what did Hashem make? Hashem made flour. We make cake. We make bread. I mean, the world's not perfect. If the world was perfect, you should be able to pluck a French bread roll off the tree. It's not. You've got a seed, you've got a plant, you've got a this. And that's what builds muscle. That's what makes the neshama what it is. That's why to be successful in learning, you don't need talent. You don't need to be clever. You need to sit and look. Good one, went to Rosh Hashanah and asked him for a bracha to be successful in learning. Rosh Hashanah said to him, if you'll learn, you'll know. If you don't, you won't. What are you going to give you a bracha that you'll do nothing and you'll be a Talmud Chacham? And if you're sitting and learning, then what do you need a bracha for? Because you're sitting and learning, then you'll not. He said, but if you don't, you'll be an Amma Aret, and there's nothing worse than that. If you don't learn, you'll be an Amma Aret. Being an Amma Aret is the worst possible thing that you could be. All right, let's stop there, because the next paragraph. Minor Kabbalah Shesurim Ba'ava.